Hello, and welcome to the official Anite podcast. I am your host, Requiem, interim host, Requiem, filling in for Proton Storm, who's busy trying to become Dr. Proton Storm, PhD. Good luck with that. Joining me this week is Dr. Kev.
Good evening. I'm a real doctor, although apparently medical doctors are actually honorary doctors, so maybe Proton will one day outrank me, which sounds terrifying.
He'll definitely out-earn you, probably.
Possibly.
By the way, how did that gig with the Rammstein cover band go? I heard there was some kind of large papier-mâché thing.
Yeah. My daughter and I were covered in foamy jizz. It was an experience.
I just wanted that on the podcast. Foamy particulate jizz. Yeah. I haven't laughed that hard in years. Okay. It just blows my mind. You went to like nobody else I know goes, hey, I'm going to go see a Rammstein cover band.
Yeah, I mean, I would have gone to see the real one, but the Rammstein haven't come to my area of Scotland in a very, very long time. Damn them. But I would go. If they came, I would go.
And it sounded like you were more delighted by this than your daughter was?
Yeah, she was slightly horrified, whereas I just giggled like a girl.
That sounds like the proper reaction.
Like, we were right at the front of the stage, and because it was a very small venue, and the guy took out his massive paper mache penis and sort of gestured towards my daughter. He's like, touch it. She's like, I don't want to touch it. And he's like, touch it. In German, presumably. And eventually she did touch it, and then it sort of unleashed torrent of foamy particulate cum all over her. So, yep.
Okay.
It was a Friday evening to remember.
I think
we're moving on with the rest of the introductions.
Yeah.
Moving on. Yeah. Giant paper mache penis is now the title of this episode. Moving on. Also joining us is a very sickly Gugsy.
Yeah, this is my flu game. Under the weather today, and but apparently I'm going to be energized by the particulate.
Damn right. I expect you to put up 40 in this flu game.
I'll give you 4. Would that be okay?
Yeah, I'll take what I can get.
I think the real question is 40 what?
40.
I'm assuming points, presumably, but...
Yeah, honestly, I'll take 40.
Not after
anything.
Talking about particulate jizz.
No. Nope.
Do you have 40 particulate jizz?
Moving on.
I mean, none of us know what Gugsy's doing just now. He's in his own room. I mean,
he could be doing anything. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he could be doing anything. Yeah, who knows?
I try not to think about it. Also joining us is Right Zeno. Did I say it right?
Close enough.
Damn it. I'm going to get it.
No, you won't.
Right Zeno.
Nope.
Damn it.
You missed the T.
Anyway, welcome. It's unusual to have you on an episode when it's not a season preview.
Yep.
I'm glad you could put down the manga for a minute. Okay. Moving on, we got housekeeping on the website that, you know, we are ostensibly attached to. And I'm seeing that all the articles belong to Dr. Kev, so why don't you run them down for us, Doc?
What a shocker.
I know, it's really new for us.
I can't help that the rest of you remain lazy bastards. Anyway, so I'd finished up my last couple of write-ups of the movies that I saw at Scotland Loves Anime 3 weeks ago. So that was Galaxy Express 3-9, the movie, which was really, really good. I enjoyed it. It was quite a retro movie, which is unsurprising considering it's from 1979. I'd really like to see the sequel now, so I may have to import the Blu-ray for that. And then the next one was the movie version of Osamu Tezuka's Phoenix, which the TV version, which is just basically the same movie chopped up into 4 OVAs, is available on Disney Plus or Hulu. But the movie has a slightly different ending. Doesn't really matter which ending you watch. Both of them are just vividly, miserably depressing. So it's not really a feel-good movie. It's very, very pretty. but you may want to slit your wrists after watching it. I really enjoyed it. I'm not sure about what my children thought of it.
You might want to slit your wrist when it's over. I really enjoyed
yeah,
it.
Yeah. So yeah, go watch that on Disney Plus or Hulu if you're in the US. The last article I wrote is just it's a review digest thing. So back when we published on Kotaku's Kinja platform back in, you know, before the end of 2020, some of those articles have been lost to the internet forever. So some of the parts of those, the collab articles that I contributed to, I've put them together in a wee sort of digest format just to preserve them, because I couldn't be bothered writing anything this weekend. So I posted that up instead. I've got a bunch more of those articles to go, so I will probably post a few of them coming up. And then
Lazy releases old articles he wrote years ago.
I've written like more in the last couple of months than I've written like ever.
It's like the compilation movie version of an article.
Yeah, anyway, go have a look
and
at that.
And should get about the same ratings.
Probably. And then the last thing is I've had another article published on Anime News Network, which is a look-back article at the animes that came out in autumn, or fall for you Americans, 2013. So that is a monstrous article. It's about 4,000 words long. Because I made the mistake of asking folks in the Anite chat, hey, what should I watch? Because I didn't watch that many shows in autumn of 2013, and I got deluged with stuff. Most of it was really, really good, apart from Rex's one suggestion, which was terrible.
I'm sorry, you have no soul. If you can't find my mental choices are ruining my high school romantic comedy funny, I don't know what to tell you.
I was like,
I mean, I know what to tell you. It made the 2013 slains.
It doesn't mean it's bad. It just means terrible. It's kind of ridiculous.
It caused like physical pain. By the end of four episodes of that, I think my eyes were bleeding and my insides were screaming. So I just couldn't. I screamed, wow. Damn you, Wreck. Turned it off and I had to go and lie down. So
I really thought it was funny.
Yeah, well, we all know.
You would.
And humor is like, yeah.
But you tell me you didn't think it was funny, right? Really?
I actually didn't enjoy that series very much in any of its forms.
I'm on an island over here.
But most of the rest of the stuff was really, really good. I particularly liked Kyoso Giga, which was really...
Hell yeah!
So that made me cry like a baby towards the end. Samurai Flamenco, I loved that. You couldn't tell where on earth that was going. Every few episodes, it just went off on another bonkers tangent. So that was really good. I liked that a lot.
Yeah, Flamenco is one of the most wackadoo shows I've ever seen. But it's really, really engaging because you're just like gripping the rail, holding on to see where it's going next.
Yeah. I like both ending songs with the cute idol singers singing them. So they've been added to my permanent playlist. So
right.
Go have a look at that. It's on ANN somewhere.
Yeah, find an ANN and then find the link back to Anite from there and then read Anite because we're better than ANN. We don't employ Richard Eisenbeis. All right. Also, I should mention not that by wrong. The time I'm just saying, by the time you listen to this, our collaboration article for the seasonal recommendations will have been out for about 2 weeks because it's going to drop on the Monday following this recording. So go read that. There's a lot of hard work in there, mostly.
Yeah, I don't think we can define what you contribute as hard work.
I mean, that's true, but I mean, everybody else seems to work pretty hard. Especially I mean, Luigi.
There's work, but not everybody's hard.
I mean, I don't judge. Especially poor Luigi.
This podcast has gone down a very strange path today.
Nah, they pretty much always does this.
I was going to say, I'm here. What did you expect?
I mean, we discussed, you know, four supernatural pregnancies a couple episodes ago. Anyway, on that note, let's move on to the news. Now, it's not, you know, it's not exactly the heaviest week for high hitting news, I'll admit.
Yeah.
But let's see, where should we start? Let's start with the one that one of our current cast members is most excited about. So, Right Zeno. They're doing some more Simple Gear stuff, which I'm sure you're extremely excited about.
Extremely excited. So there was an event in the Sinfagir gacha game a little while ago that effectively confirmed the two main heroines being together, which of course means that it was the last hurrah. And I was like, they're going to be ending this soon, aren't they? Turns out, yes. Yes, they are. So within this last week, we got the end of service announcement. The game will be ending within a few months. But also earlier this week, or rather a couple days after that, they simultaneously announced a new TV series titled Sinfagir Next and a movie in the works. So we're getting more Sinfagir, hell yeah. But also there's rampant speculation as to what exactly could be going on here with this. Like, it might not have anything to do with the game at all, but it might also, you know, be intricately tied to that, because the gacha game, for all of its stupid contrivances, actually had some really neat ideas, and there were some really fun events that would have made for great anime. So, like, everybody's kind of been wanting an adaptation of the game itself. Like, it's entirely possible that the movie in question, one of the events was about Genjuro trying to organize all the girls and create a kung fu movie with the group. Like, completely cheesy, badly dubbed, the works. It's incredible. And, like, that would be an awesome movie. There's people talking about maybe one or the other of them could, either the series or the movie could be that it starts off the same way the very first season started off, like to the letter for the first, for the intro sequence where they do the concert and the noise invade. The difference being that instead of Kanade, Tsubasa's the one that sacrifices herself, because that's what happened in the alternate universe they visit in the very first event that the game ever had. And what happens in there is they've got this new relic in the game called the Gjallarhorn, which opens gates to parallel dimensions. So there's all sorts of alternate universe fuckery going on. There's AU versions of absolutely every freaking character. Some have multiple. So, like, there's a Kanade that survived without Tsubasa, and, like, their entire world is going to shit. There's a Chris that never had anything bad happen to her in her childhood, and so she's, like, fluffy, naive, friendly, outgoing, completely the opposite of our Chris, but totally adorable. There's a Hibiki that actually lost Miku during that concert attack and didn't have any emotional support through the bullying that they, you know, alluded to in the first episode that was horrific. And so she turned out to be this antisocial, edgy ninja.
I do love an edgy ninja.
And they're all in the new, in the same universe now together, right?
Yes, they're all technically connected now. They can all coexist. There's versions of Maria and her dead little sister Serena that, like, one version of them has them as basically magical girl phantom thieves. And then there was another event that had a different AU version of them where, I don't know if Maria's growth got stunted or there was some timeline fuckery or what, but Serena looks more like her mom than her little sister. And that Maria's, like, tiny. There's a version of Shirabe where she cut her hair short and is wearing Coke bottle glasses because her hair gets in the way of science and she's trying to make a robot copy of Kirika, who is dead. So, like, there's a whole lot of interesting stuff, and that's just the AU things. That's not even getting into the double relics, there's all sorts of interesting plot lines in there that the actual show never even dreamed of before the mobile game started with this weird shit. So there's plenty of material there, and it's entirely possible that absolutely none of it will be touched, and it will be completely original stuff. I don't know.
Like, so we don't know anything about the show or the movie, right? They got no information.
We know nothing about the show. They give us no details besides the name and that it's coming. I'm personally kind of hoping for something akin to Nanoha Strikers, where they're all adults and there's a new generation of teenage heroes for them to guide.
I love whenever we start talking about Sinfagir, because I always, like, in the back of my mind, I'm always like, oh yeah, Sinful Gear is that batshit insane magical girl show. And then you guys start talking about all the stuff that goes on in it, and I'm like, oh yeah, it is. It's fucking batshit insane. What the hell is going on here?
It's totally batshit. It's utter chaos.
To me, like, the movie should be Sinful Gear Multiverse, where they all crash into each other. Behind,
like, into the Incursion Invent.
They would need, like, a 5-hour movie to do that.
Yeah, they really would.
There are Sinful Gear stands, like, right here who would go to that. They would go to a 5-hour Sinful Gear movie.
You bet your ass. That would be the first movie in, like, 20 years that I've watched, that I would have watched more than once.
Holy shit. Okay. I'm sorry. I was just picturing right in like a theater, like IVs hooked up. He's been in the theater for 27 hours.
27?
You've seen the movie, like five times. Shit.
Those are rookie numbers. You got to pump those numbers up.
You know, he's got like the Clockwork Orange eye thing on to keep him from leaning. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's going to happen. Hopefully it turns out as well as you hoped. You know, there's nothing quite
if
like
not,
the feeling of knowing that
problems.
There's nothing like that feeling of knowing that something in a franchise you love is coming and you don't know what it is going to be. So it's like, you're really excited, but you're also terrified. Mm. All right. Hey, Gugsy, you want to talk about Godzilla? Cause I heard there's some Godzilla news.
Yeah. So Godzilla, as of the time of this recording, came out yesterday. And apparently it's gotten rave reviews all across the board. From I'm seeing on Rotten Tomatoes that both the tomato score and the audience score are above 95%, which is pretty high, I want to say. And everything I've ever seen and heard about people talking about it on Twitter and everything is that it's really fucking incredible. So yeah. And this, to be clear, this Godzilla Minus One is coming from a Japanese production company, not the Godzilla movie that's also coming out with the American production company. I think that's next year.
Yeah, no, this is Toho. So this is the original Japanese company. Yeah, not Godzilla versus
not that
Kong.
Toho.
It's the 33rd movie that they've made with Godzilla, something like that. Yeah, I've never seen a single Godzilla movie in my life, but I was thinking about going to see this one because it's set just immediately post World War II, so presumably you don't need to know anything about Godzilla. So
no, it's kind of like a remake almost.
Yeah. It releases in the UK on the 15th of December, so I think I'll probably go and maybe drag some of my kids to it.
Yeah, I mean the original Godzilla. If you've ever seen Gojira, the first one, it's an allegory for the nuclear bomb. So. They kind of return into those
roots. Drag your daughter to that; she won't get covered in particulate.
I was going to say, yeah.
Unless you go to one of those sort of, is it 4D things where they probably spray you with stuff? I have no idea. Hopefully, not the same.
I mean, you can ask an usher, I guess.
Yeah,
you have a giant paper mache dick available.
I'm sure Usher would be happy to.
Oh,
we want the true Godzilla experience.
Such a good joke. I have to let it go. But Doc, I would recommend this to you. I know you probably won't do it, but Criterion Collection has this special edition. It's like a book, actually. It has virtually almost what they call the Showa era Toho films of Godzilla. Mm-hmm. It's like, I think the first 20, maybe 21. I can't remember. I have it on my shelf. Wow. I can see it from here. It's fantastic. It's got, I mean, it's Criterion Collection, so it's loaded with like features, and the transfers are all great. And there's like a lot of the Godzilla movies are fucking great. The first one, the original Godzilla movie, is a great actual movie. Watch the Japanese version, not the American version of it.
We don't get those in the UK. I'd have to import that, and I'd probably have to remortgage my house to import something with 20 Blu-ray discs.
I'm gonna make you this promise. If I ever come to Scotland, I'm bringing that with me, and I'm gonna give it to you.
Hooray!
I wish to spread the gospel of Godzilla.
Maybe if I go see it at the cinema, I'll write a review of it.
Should
I think my mind has just been destroyed today as we continue to talk about coming and spreading. This is just we're just in bad territory here.
I mean, this is, we always end up here one way or the other.
That's right. It's Rex's fault. It's
it
all
is
his
my
fault.
It's his leading question. Seriously, I'm super hyped for Minus One. I love Godzilla. I don't love the American version that much, although it's not. I mean, these last ones haven't been that bad. You know, Godzilla versus Kong was okay.
I was gonna emphasis on okay.
They're fine. I mean, they're not as bad as the Matthew Broderick one from back in 2000. Jesus Christ. I almost walked out. I never walk out of movies, but that one I was pretty close. Anyway, yeah, Godzilla Minus One. For the love of God, go see it. And then go watch Shin Godzilla, which is also outstanding, even though it's directed by that guy I don't like.
Yeah, it looks fucking amazing.
Wow, that narrows it down.
That's okay. Fair. Okay, so I have never read this manga and I'm not familiar with it, but when this got announced, several people in the Anite chat jizzed in their overalls, so I'm gonna go ahead and mention it. I'm gonna try and pronounce this correctly. Maggie Lumiere Company Limited, is that what it is? Maggie Lumiere. Right. Ah, shit, I'm bad at this. Magic Lumiere Company Limited manga gets an anime by JC Staff in 2024. Apparently, it's a workplace comedy about magical girls, and going by the reaction, it's got a very fierce and supportive fan base. Have you read this?
Yes.
Right?
Yes, yes. I'm current on it. It is extremely good. I was one of those creamed in my overalls, yes.
Okay. Looks like they're doing it. The director
is really, really good. Like, probably on the level of Nanoha if it ever gets an anime.
Oh, wow, really?
Yes, it's that good. It's really, really, really good. You should check it out. It's on Manga Plus.
Yeah, I mean, I like the character designs. It's being directed.
Oh, yeah.
But one of the guys who worked on One Punch Man and Planet With, so that's pretty solid, mm-hmm. Isn't it? So I am now intrigued, and the idea of like magical girl workplace comedy, that sounds pretty good as long as it's like it doesn't veer into Madoka or magical girl site territory.
No, actually, what it does go into is political intrigue.
Okay, that's weird.
It's actually, it makes a lot of sense once you start seeing what's going on over there. But it's a workplace comedy, which means that there are legal issues to deal with.
Like when they blow up a building?
Stuff like that, yeah, sort of. That's part of it.
They kind of dealt with that a little bit. Do you remember Magical Girl Special Ops Asuka?
I don't think I ever watched it.
I actually really liked that show, but one of the things they did deal with was the politics of magical girls. You know, they're basically like state-level weapons.
Yeah. If you liked that, you'll like this, because they're the magical girls are generally privately owned companies rather than state-level weaponry. But because they're still that dangerous, they're being dealt with the same amount of seriousness by the government. So there's like a faction war of, you know, should we be regulating these more heavily? Should they be, you know, state military assets, or should we just let them do their thing?
Yeah, so it's almost like Marvel Civil War, but Magical
but
Girl.
But not shit?
It wasn't shit. It was pretty bad. I mean, defending Civil War for years, but like it's getting harder and harder because they doubled down on some of that stuff and it made it worse. It had a bad ending, I'll say that. But
well,
I think they wrote themselves into
a bad
corner.
Ending yet. It's not done.
Well, of course not. Why would we do it? Why would we adapt a manga that's done?
Right. At the very least, why would you adapt a manga that's done that hasn't been done for at least 10 years lately?
Yeah, it's not too late to give me Nana Berry Treasure Season 2.
Yes,
Japan.
It's very late.
Shut up, Gugsy. It'll happen someday.
I regret to inform you, it's dead.
Blue Exorcist got a second season, and now it's getting a third season. It could happen.
No, it could.
Right. You know what's going to happen?
Someone give Wreck his meds. He's losing it again.
They're going to be like, Nananas Buried Treasure Season 2, directed by Yuasa, and I'm just going to like break down and weep.
Directed by the Earl Butcher.
Oh, God. I could totally see that, actually. Just everybody dies in the traps.
Yeah, well. No, that would be Tamino.
All right. So it turns out that our Scottish doctor has a deep, dark secret. He's a DDR freak, and he's got Dance Dance Revolution news to share with us.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about this. I just learned about this today. So there's been a Nintendo Entertainment System Classic Mini and a Super Nintendo Entertainment System Classic Mini and a Sega Genesis or Mega Drive one. And now there's a Dance Dance Revolution Classic Mini coming out, which is a mini console, which apparently rather than playing with your feet, you play with your fingers, which sounds lame. I mean, Dance Dance Revolution is that arcade game from the late 90s, early 2000s. With a dance mat that you dance along to the music. It's a rhythm game. And back in the, I think it must have been 2000 or 2001, I got a Sega Dreamcast with the main purpose of importing Dance Dance Revolution Second Mix from Japan with a dance mat so that I could play it at home. Because there weren't any UK releases of anything like this because nobody else was crazy enough. So I love Dance Dance Revolution. And apparently this new mini thing, you can connect it to your TV and you can also connect a separate dance map to it so that you can play it correctly. So
it's got multiple ports for the dance mat so you can, you know, play verses correctly.
Do they still make the dance pad peripheral?
If not, they're going to be making new ones, but I'm pretty sure they do.
Yeah, I mean, I have a PlayStation one and a Dreamcast one, so if there's some kind of adapter, I could just use those or I could just buy new ones.
Yeah, I've still got the one for my PS2. This one has DDR1, DDR2nd, and then DDR3rd. It's got some word at the end that I don't remember. But the first three games are loaded into it, and you can pick between them.
That's great. And each of those will have lots and lots of tracks on them as well.
I'm kind of amazed they managed to do this because usually music licensing is a total bitch.
A lot of those early games, they're like their own songs. I mean, there are some licensed tracks, but a lot of them are just like exclusive to the game, so it shouldn't.
Yeah, a lot of them are also like remixes and covers.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's a lot of 90s zero beats.
There's a lot of. If I remember correctly, there was like hard remixes of like classical music on there too to avoid. That kind of
there
licensing
are,
issue.
Like the original, I want to say the first DDR that we got over here had things like Video Killed the Radio Star, but then it also had this random English cover of the ending theme to Rurouni Kenshin.
I love that shit.
Song. I mean, Video Killed the Radio Star was on the DDR second mix, I'm pretty sure, which is the Dreamcast one that I have.
I don't remember which PS2 one I had. I had a DDR game. I don't know which one it was.
I gotta admit, I kind of like the idea of playing with my hands. I might actually be able to do it now.
I mean, that's been a thing forever. There's DDR knockoffs that you play with either a controller or a keyboard. They're all over the place.
I mean, that's what Guitar Hero and Rock Band are, basically.
Oh, God, I love Guitar Hero.
I love Guitar Hero.
Yeah. I love Rock Band. I didn't get much into Guitar Hero just because the guitar is not my favorite instrument, but I was the vocalist of our Rock Band group. As well as occasionally the drummer.
I have the guitars and the drum kit for Guitar Hero and for Rock Band. So.
I'm gonna tell Dex to tell his bosses that to make a remake of those games.
Yeah, bring the shit back, man. I love that shit.
I would absolutely buy that.
We had the original Rock Band, which I played with my college friends, and then my family had the Beatles Rock Band. Which we played a whole shitload of.
I had like the classic rock Guitar Hero. I had Guitar Hero 2, and then I had like the classic rock version that was mostly like GNR and shit.
Do you have Guitar Hero Rocks the 80s?
Yeah, that's it. That's what it was. Rocks the 80s. That's what it was. That thing was that was badass. And one of them had Trogdor by Strongbad on there.
Yeah.
I played that shit, I swear to God, 200 times. I was trying to perfect it, and I always made one mistake. It drove me almost to the point of insanity.
We had a similar experience with Thunder Horse from Death Clock.
Yeah, there you go.
My favorite one was always trying to do Through the Fire and Flames on like master mode.
Oh, just Jesus. Like, oh,
good God.
Basically, that would literally cripple your hand.
Yeah.
Yep.
What was the one that had Freebird? Because that was just...
Freebird was the last with the boss song at the end of the game. And it was just like, After about 4 minutes in, you're just like, I can't keep doing this.
Just like hand cramps. Like, I can't. No more. Stop torturing me.
I remember that after I beat the game and I beat Freebird, like I literally couldn't move my hands for like 5 minutes.
No.
And you started getting that fucking Guitar Hero shit with your eyes where you kept seeing scrolling after you looked away.
Yeah. Oh, I had that. Yeah. Or when, like when you're trying to go to sleep and all you can see is like scrolling like stars and things. Like, yep. Oh, no.
God. Rhythm games are bring them back. What the hell, Japan?
Yeah, bring them back.
They never left. There's still rhythm games being made all the time. You're just not looking for them.
But there's their Persona dancing games.
Yeah.
My daughter.
Oh, those yeah.
Awesome. She's,
do they still make those Taiko like, drum games?
Yes.
I used to love those in arcades.
Drum Master. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah. By the way, Doc, when girls would come over to your house and see your DDR mat, did they just hurl themselves directly at you? Or?
I was already married by that point.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, I forgot. You got married super young.
Yeah. Yeah. But my wife liked it. We also had Samba de Amigo with the real maracas.
Oh, yeah. That was fun, too. I love that game.
Her favorite game was Soul Calibur because like all my male friends would come around. My wife was like, "Oh, that looks like a fun game. Can I try?" And they'd be like, "Yeah, sure."
Did she annihilate them?
Yeah. She utterly annihilated them. That's that gave her a big ego boost.
Your wife rules.
Yeah,
I love looking.
She does. That's why I love her.
Is your wife in the room right now as you say these things?
She's not.
Stand behind with a knife.
She's in another room. Yeah.
I love my wife so much. Have you heard from the doc lately? All right, that's enough. If you like DDR, now you can play some more DDR.
Hell yeah!
Yay.
Especially if you happen to like, maybe if you have the old pad still. I know some people still have that shit in their garage or whatever.
Yep.
Let me ask. So this might be my memory just being completely shit, but DDR is the one that where you had forward, back, left, and right, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah,
there,
yeah.
And there was a different, bar behind you.
But isn't there a different one where it wasn't,
yes,
it was the diagonals?
One that has the diagonals.
Yeah, no, there was another one, yeah.
Was that, oh, okay. was that a different game entirely or a different version of DDR?
Yeah, it was a different series entirely.
Oh,
different
okay.
Different series from a different company.
Right. Yeah, they had the diagonals with the bar too.
Diagonal just sounds too fucking hard.
Well, it's not that it just was like instead of having forward and back, it would just do the four diagonals. So it was four steps but just different directions. I always got confused by is this Dance Dance Revolution? Like kind of.
It's a knockoff.
Yeah.
It's Pump It Up, I believe.
Ah, okay.
There's only one DDR.
No wonder I didn't remember that name.
I love the bar at the back, too, because like there would have been so many more injuries if that wasn't there. There's nothing quite as funny as going to an arcade back in the day and watching people fall off the DDR machine. Anyway, let's move on to this some more seasonal anime. You know, we're getting into the back third. You know, most shows are hitting episode 9 or 10. It's always a little bit hard here because we've already talked about all these shows, but let's talk about them some more. Join us for our next episode, which will be the seasonal preview from winter 2024. Ooh, the future.
Yay. So, I'll be there.
Doc, it's my understanding that after my desperate pleadings, you have finally watched at least some of Blue Eye Samurai.
I've watched all of Blue Eye Samurai.
Excellent.
So for once, your recommendation was actually good.
I have
no regrets this time. Blue Eye Samurai is fantastic. I mean, it doesn't really even count as anime because it's been made by an American company. Although it is set in Japan, 1633 or something like that. It's during the isolationist period when Japan kicked out all of the foreigners or murdered them. And it follows this samurai who has blue eyes because their father was white and raped their mother nicely. And they're out for revenge to kill the four remaining white people that are left in Japan. And these white people are bad people. It's not just that they're racist. It's one of these classic samurai revenge stories. And it's great. It's stupendously violent. It's dripping with blood. But also the characters are really, really good. It's really interesting. It's been very well researched. It's quite convincing in terms of a historical setting. It's not particularly got any sort of fantasy craziness in it. There's a few parts where you have to kind of suspend disbelief. But otherwise, this is a really, really good show. I really enjoyed this. I mean, Rick, what did you enjoy about it?
Oh, God. It's like I said, it's such a classic revenge story. Like, it has, like, it's CG anime, sort of, but it didn't bother me at all, which is weird. Mm. It has nudity.
That's because it's actually good CG. That's why it didn't bother me.
It had, like, actual, like, nude sex scenes in it, which I was not ready for originally. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
But, like, they did them so well that it doesn't feel tawdry at all. Like, it's part of the story. It always makes sense.
No.
It's part of the story. It has the sidekick with no hands. That guy is the best. I love that guy. Yeah. I can't remember his name because I'm bad with character names. But he's like a noodle chef. Ringo.
Ringo, which means apple.
But he's got no hands. He was born without them. Which is kind of like, it's supposed to be like a reflection of the main character, like being born with something that's a problem. And he just addresses it in a totally different way. And he's fucking hilarious.
He's voiced by Masaki, what's his name? Was it Oka or something like that? The guy who played Hiro in Heroes years and years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Actor. They've got such a great voice cast. Like, the bad guy is voiced by Kenneth Branagh.
Oh, he's killing it, too.
It's just this really hateful ginger Irishman. He's just evil.
It's just, like, all the characters are great. The action scenes are just, like the fight scenes are just so good. They're so Kill Bill. At one point, like, the music cues in the show, or outside, at one point, the song for Kill Bill, everybody knows it. It's like, bum ba dum bum bum, right before a bunch of people die. They use that. I swear to God, at one point, when she's about to attack the enemy base, it hits Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yes.
Which you wouldn't think would fit, like, a samurai, like, a late 1600s samurai show, would fit perfectly.
And the subtitles say, Metallica's For When the Bell Tolls, Japan version. Right, okay. I don't know if you watched it with subtitles, but
Japan version.
It's so good, and it's clearly left wide open for a sequel, and I hope they make more of it. It's just really, really high quality animation, excellent storytelling. Just one of the best animated things I've watched all year.
I'm desperate for them to make more because of where they left all the characters. Like, they were more or less wrapped up the story, but they had, like, they left so many dangling threads. You want to know what happened to all the guys?
Yeah.
And, you know, revenge is always a hard thing to do, because, like, it usually leans to, like, ridiculous violence or toward the revenge is bad for you. And this one kind of hits right in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, it does both. There's ridiculous violence, but it's also shown to be not a great thing. I mean, it's interesting that this kind of shows a lot of this period of Japan from a female perspective, because there are some very prominent female characters in this who are understandably pissed off at their lot in life. Essentially, they are owned by their male relatives and are, like, forced into marriage or whatever, and have no real agency. And it has an interesting look at doing that without seeing too overly political or preachy about it. It's good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, like, I've been trying to get people to watch this show. Please, it's on Netflix, for God's sake. Everybody, you all have Netflix. Go watch Blue Eye Samurai.
If you go watch it, they might make more. Please do it.
Yeah,
do it for us.
Yeah, don't watch Animusha. Watch this. This is better.
Nah, right. I think I'm going to watch Scott Pilgrim instead.
Well, Scott Pilgrim is also fantastic. Netflix is killing it at the moment. They've just done really, really well with their original stuff.
Yeah, Scott Pilgrim's fascinating. Like, he came back, he was like, I don't want to just retell the story. Like, I'm a much older person now. Let me, you know, alter the perspective a bit. And he made the story better, from what I heard.
It's really good. I don't get the complaints. There's a lot of complaints from people that are like, oh, they changed it completely. But it's more just like, he has a much better understanding of his characters and basically what their growth and development should be, rather than just kind of like, I don't know, it feels like I never read the manga, but the movie version is kind of, it felt very cartoony without really, I mean that not in necessarily the way it looks, because obviously, yes, it's supposed to look like a video game, but I meant that in, like, the actual story of the game felt like kind of the movie. I mean, I'm sorry, was kind of silly, even though, yeah. But this version turned it on its head to make it like get, to give it a lot more depth.
Well, the comic and the movie are set up like a series of video game boss fights. So Scott Pilgrim has to fight each of the seven evil exes of the girl that he likes. Whereas in this version, that doesn't happen, and it's more about reconciliation and moving on. And it's great. It's got some really interesting character work in it, and they do sideline the main character for quite a long time, and that's a good thing, I think. And then the final boss of the show, I'm not going to spoil, is really also interesting from a storytelling perspective, just in terms of the general themes of the show. It does seem a lot more grown up, about learning to accept your flaws, accept that life isn't going to be perfect, and accept that you may not make the right choices, but you can only do your best with what you have at the time and make the best of your life. And it's got a really positive, affirmative message. And I love it. I think I possibly love the anime more than I love the original movie.
I do, yeah, for sure.
Comic book, yeah.
I think it definitely puts a spin on, like, okay, what does Happily Ever After actually mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, if you came back to us, I know that if I came back to a story I wrote when I was, like, in my early 20s, your perspective on just how life is and how people are is completely different as you get older. Like, you mature, basically.
Some do.
So, I mean, some people do, and some people are Elon Musk. But what are you going to do? Yeah. All right. Right, Zeno. So there's a show that has not been discussed on this podcast or is getting any discussion, but I actually think is pretty decent. The English version is a certain guy's playthrough of an MMO. I guess you call it a VR or MMO Osun.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Just the original name of it.
So you read the source material for that, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Both the, so what'd you think of the novel anime? And the manga. What was that?
So what did you think of the anime?
It's actually really good. Generally. It's generally really good. It's a pretty faithful adaptation. They're skipping a lot of the nitty-gritty details of how the skills work and his, you know, experimentation and crafting. It's skipping the right parts of it for once, which is a little strange. Most of the VR MMO anime skip the wrong parts.
Yeah, they usually, these kinds of shows, they usually go into like, oh, all like the details of like the game, or like, just, I don't care. I've seen enough of like these people like pulling up menus and shit. Like, this is it's so annoying when those shows do that.
Right. The novel versions of it actually have like a shitload of like menu screens in the text, and they've wisely excised pretty much all of those.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. There's very little menu action. And what little we do get doesn't show anything but the relevant information to the current scene. So you're not constantly seeing, you know, his level, all of his regular ass stats, his entire fucking uncut skill list. No. You just get the thing that just leveled up, or the thing that's about to be relevant in a few scenes. So, it's a lot of fun. The voice actress for my favorite character is absolutely killing it. The Fairy Queen is hilarious.
Yeah, the Fairy Queen is by far the best character.
Mm-hmm. Easily. And will continue to be so.
Actually, his whole relationship with the fairies in general is the best part of this show.
Yeah, it's really, really good. The complaint I have about it, though, is that the animation, like every other episode, there's at least one major amateur hour fuck up.
Oh god, yeah, the animation is rough, bro.
It's real bad. And like, some of it is just that, yeah, he really does make shit that looks that bad for himself to wear, but like at the same time, it's then they compound it by going off model.
Yeah, those fucking shoes that he designs. First of all, they look stupid anyway. But
right,
they cannot draw those things. I don't know.
No, they can't. The current shoes he's wearing make him look like a lost Magnemon cosplayer that could only afford the boots. It's really, really bad. But also they have there's some other animation fuck ups. They showed a line of people walking into the Fairy Kingdom, and it was all like Berserk level CG of randos walking.
Yeah, they didn't spend any money on that CG show.
Oh no,
none whatsoever. It was awful. The other thing that they do way too much of is they have two characters directly facing each other, perfectly perpendicular to the screen, and neither of them is moving other than their mouths. It's just a dialogue scene with absolutely no animation to it whatsoever, and it's terrible.
Yeah, you can see them cutting the corners in some parts.
Like, yes, they need to talk about these things, but, like, those people don't ever sit still. Come the fuck on.
No, they are playing a video game. Video game characters tend to stand right next to each other when they talk.
But these guys don't. The specific people in any of these scenes, A, don't ever stand still talking to each other because, like, Earth is always doing something. He only has a few hours a day to play. He never stands still.
Yeah, I do wish I wish they focused a little bit more on the fact that he's so much older than most of the other players.
The other thing is that by this point in the story, he's mentioned a couple of times that, like, he's alluded to things in his real life that are keeping him from, you know, gaming as much as he'd like to, and also that, you know, he's not having the best time at his job either. They expound on that in the novel version, and the manga only barely touches on it a lot later. But if they'd focused on that from the beginning, it would have been a completely different perspective on why this dude is playing the way he is. Because it's actually a really fucking good reason. I'm not even sure I want to spoil it here.
Well, maybe they'll get to it.
Yeah, I hope so. I'll leave it alone for now. Just know that there's a reason that he took up this playstyle and only plays for a few hours a day.
Yeah, it
gives him a lot of character depth that he might not, you might not otherwise think about.
Yeah, it's a very chill, low-key kind of show. I really enjoy it. But it's like, you're not going to go like, somebody says, what should I watch from this season? I'm not going to go, oh, a certain dude's playthrough of a VR MMO. I'm going to say, you know, Frayren and Apothecary. But
yeah,
I enjoy it every week. I hope it gets a little bit more so we can get maybe into some more of that. I'm desperate to know, when you had the title Fairy Playa, I'm desperate to know what the actual Japanese on that was.
That's actually a very good translation of it. It's the same connotations. They actually nailed that. They weren't kidding.
they spell Playa with a Y.
Yeah, Playa.
Anyway.
But yeah, they actually nailed that. This isn't a Danmachi title fuck-up thing. The general translation, if you weren't using slang, is something like Seducer of Fairies.
Okay, that would have been way better.
They briefly used that, I think. Or maybe I'm thinking of the manga. But either way, that's the kind of vibe it gives. It's supposed to sound greasy.
Alright. Well, if you like... And I know that there are people who are particularly fans of VR MMO shows. This is a pretty good one. Especially if you like just chill shit. All right. Mm-hmm. Moving on, Gugsy. As the current, without DJ Nipa here, as a resident horse girl correspondent, how is the current season of Uma Musume?
So, it's like I have a hard time with it kind of explaining my thoughts on the season, and mostly it's because the previous season too is I'm going to say right now it's the best sports anime ever created. And so then I'm coming to this season with that as kind of the expectation. And while it's still really, 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 really good, the fact that it's not at that same level as season two is makes me feel a little more disappointed, even though it's not the best sports anime anymore, but is it comfortably in a top 10? Absolutely. But I'm still a little bit kind of disappointed in it, because season two, man, like the highs and the lows and what these real life horses actually like went through, in that particular story at that particular time in history was pretty incredible. And we in the season three, we've gotten some of that, but also it's just the real life story. We're not fully there yet. And also the part is that season two ends with, again, also one of probably the greatest anime episodes I've ever seen. And the real life story is of that horse doing this is really, really incredible. So when you're at that level where you're like, oh my God, this is an 11 out of 10. This is absolutely unbelievable. I'm actually like tearing up watching this, and you get to this and it's not there. It feels like a little bit of a letdown, even though, yeah, sure. It's still like a 9 out of 10 right now.
I was saying, a vacuum by itself, separate from everything else, this season would be considered very good.
Yes, absolutely. But it's just that coming off of season two, which is, oh my God, one of the greatest things I've ever seen. It's really, really good. And again, all of this is based off of actual real horse racing history in Japan. So like all of this really actually happened, and you can watch what they do in the anime and what actually happened in the race itself. And it's almost exactly the same. You know, the actual history of something happening is better than fiction kind of deal. And so we're not right there, even though we still have had some incredible highs. Satsuno Diamond, having her race of a lifetime was at that same level, but we just haven't had as many of it. And I've talked with Dill about this a little bit, but I still have the faith that I still believe, you know, we still have like 3-4 more episodes. I am absolutely sure that we're going to get some really incredible stuff down the stretch here. There's a reason why we're telling this story. So I have full faith, but it's not there at that season two level yet.
Down the stretch.
Yes, down the stretch we go.
No pun intended. All right, but you're still enjoying it though.
Oh, absolutely. It's still one of the best sports anime I've seen.
Yeah, so you hear that, slam dunk, fuck you, the best sports anime is Horse Girls.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess to explain a little bit is just that each of these seasons so far has been focusing on kind of a different set of horse girls and different horses racing at different times in Japanese history. So it's just that the particular horses that they were focusing on in season two had some really incredible stories, and they really wring the best emotion out of it. And now in season three, we have a kind of a different set of horses to follow. And we're not there yet, but it's still incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that happens sometimes with a show. Like, I always talk about One Punch Man. Like, everyone was mad at season two. But season two was actually really good. It's just, it couldn't live up to the, like, near perfection of season one.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So, it's like, no, it's not bad. You guys are just, your expectations are way up here.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you're enjoying your Horse Girls.
It's not to say that, it's not like the quality or like, even I wouldn't even necessarily just say like the writing is bad. It's just that like it's not reached the highs and the lows of the actual history that happened in season two. And yeah, we still might get there.
It's like Ted Williams hit 400 one year, and then he never hit that again. But it's like his other seasons weren't bad. He just couldn't get back up to
that. He was like 390. Yeah.
Yeah, he can't get up to that transcendent level. You know, that's fine.
Yeah, we still might get there. But it's not there yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you know what happened in Japanese history, you know what's coming. So I assume that's why you're holding on.
Well, I've intentionally also not looked up anything of what's about to happen in these Horse Girls, just so that I can get the experience of actually seeing it for the first time.
Ah, okay. That's smart.
Because, yeah, I absolutely could go to Wikipedia right now, look up the horses that we're like specifically following here and get the actual history and be like, oh, okay, so this is what's going to happen to them in the actual show. But I'm specifically not doing that so I can get it, you know, blind.
Okay. So, you know, Gugsy is a prophetizer for the Horse Girls, and I've been telling everybody to please watch Blue Eye Samurai. But our friend the Doctor here has a show that he keeps trying to get people to watch, and it's called Miggy and Dolly. How's that going for you, Doug?
I love this show. It's a deeply weird and uncomfortable show that I'm not quite sure how best to describe, but I think it's probably the closest thing that anime has ever got to David Lynch's like Twin Peaks or Blue Velvet or something like that. It's just so deeply, deeply strange. It's based on a manga written by the same author who did Haven't You Heard I'm Sakamoto, which I've actually never seen.
Oh, betcha.
Yeah, I'll probably see it at some point.
I liked the manga of that. The anime just did not catch the magic for me.
So the anime of this is frankly incredible. I suppose it's probably a comedy, but it's adapted as if it's a horror
film. I suppose
it's
probably a comedy.
I mean, it's funny. It has lots of funny parts in it, but it has an awful lot of really, really weird and unsettling stuff in it. And it's about these two boys, they're I think 13 years old, these skinny little blonde boys who are adopted by this family, but the family don't realise that it's twins. They've adopted one child as far as they know, and they just take turns to impersonate the boy that they've adopted. And the reason that they're doing this is so that while one boy is entertaining the adoptive parents, the other boy can then snoop around the house or the village that they live in because they are investigating the suspicious death of their mother 7 years previously. And this village is full of like these strangest characters. And it's just they get themselves into some really bizarre situations because they're clever. Like they're able to wriggle out of really difficult situations quite easily, but a lot of the time they're in these situations and it's completely their own fault because they totally misread social cues and things. The friends they make at school are extremely weird, and one of their mothers turns out to be basically a murdering psychopath. Like the most recent episode has actually turned into sort of full-blown thriller territory with murders and blood splattering everywhere and just dastardly deeds and kidnapped children and murdered parents and stuff. It's so compelling. I really need to know what happens next. It's uncomfortable to watch. Like my eldest son, who's now in his 20s, came into the room and started watching the show with me, and he'll often do that. He'll come and sit and watch like an anime. It doesn't really matter if he's not seen previous episodes, and he'll usually sit until the end. This one, he sat for about 5 minutes, and he was like, "Nope, I just can't do this. This is just too weird," and he sort of just ran away because it's there's all sorts of weird angles. There's strange facial expressions. People act in sort of odd ways. The soundtrack is so unsettling. I think this is like a masterpiece. I think it's just incredible. I've never seen anything like it. It's clear that the director has an incredible feel for just like tone and atmosphere, and knows just when to twist the knife. I'm hoping that it continues this high quality until the end. This will probably make my top five anime of the year. I absolutely adore this. But that's perhaps because I may be a bit weird as well.
Yeah, I mean, it helps.
I don't know.
Yeah, you said David Lynch, and I have never been someone that vibes with David Lynch stuff. So this sounds like not a thing for me either.
I do want to probably point out, this was the author's final work because she died of cancer this year. To the best of my knowledge, she did actually finish the series the way she wanted to before she passed.
Yeah. It's a complete story. I think they are adapting the entire thing into these 13 episodes or whatever. She was planning a new manga serial, but she hadn't even started it when she died.
That's a shame.
Which is a shame. It's a shame that we'll never get anything more from her.
44 chapters. Seems like a little much to squeeze into 13 episodes, but we'll see.
Well, they might trim some stuff. It kind of sounds like the Hardy Boys by way of Twin Peaks.
Yeah,
maybe a little bit like that. Yeah, Just so much weirder than the
Hardy Boys. I gotta tell you, Ducky, your description of it.
The Hardy Boys. Which one was it? No, never mind. Go on.
So your description of it both makes me want to watch it and makes me not want to watch it at the same time.
Yeah.
This would be a good show to wait until it's all done and then watch it all, because watching this week to week is killing me.
Are you sure anybody can stomach that much weird back to back?
Okay, maybe watch it in two sections. I don't know. I mean, you might feel quite peculiar after watching the whole thing.
Yeah, take it with a grain of salt. This is the same guy who just told us about how he was delighted to be covered in particulate foam cum. Yeah,
that's true.
So,
yeah, the Rammstein cover band guy is telling us to watch the show.
Well, so point of clarification, you mentioned the Hardy Boys. Are we talking about the Delete Hardy Boys?
No, we're talking about
the old ass book series.
The old Hardy Boys have a hard-ranging clue. Yeah.
Yes, not the "I will delete you." Yes, I know. Only Rec will get what I'm referring.
Yes, I got the joke. Delete,
okay. Delete.
You know, by the way, I'll never forget when I was a kid. I was reading some really old Hardy Boys books, and they, instead of the word "exclaimed," they would use the word "ejaculated." And even at like 8, I was like, wait, what the fuck?
Slang has changed since then, huh?
Yeah, slang is a little bit different since the early 60s. I was like, holy shit. I remember going to the dictionary and finding out that that's an alternate version, a meaning for that word. But every time they said it, it made me laugh so hard.
That's the reason we have those comic Hardy panels Boys. With the Joker going, "Laugh at my boner, will you?"
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, well, they use that in the Hardy Boys as well. I didn't understand what on earth they were talking about. That was a real boner there. Like, what?
There was a guy on the New York Giants back in like the 40s or 50s who fucked up a play in the World Series, and they had it in like a giant headline, "Merkel's boner."
I don't even know what the original meaning of that is.
Screw up. It means you made a mistake. So you made a boner, but obviously the meaning has drifted a bit.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, so 12-year-old me thanks you for explaining that. Okay.
By the way, 12-year-old
you shouldn't be anywhere near this podcast.
That's true.
That's true.
By the way, Doc, thinking of uncomfortable anime, we're just going to dip into it real quick. Did you watch the Meatballs episodes of Dark Gathering?
Oh,
holy shit. Horrible. I almost couldn't do it.
I never want to eat meatballs ever again. Oh, jeez.
Quick spoiler warning for Dark Gathering. Fast forward a bit if you don't want to hear this. They turned his dad into meatballs and he ate them. And now he's a ghost who eats other people as meatballs. And I'm like, I almost can't handle this.
Yeah.
So clearly, I need to make this Shonen Jump or something?
Yeah, please do. You're not allowed to cook anyone near my house.
These meatballs are not kosher, right?
Yeah, they're not. They're not.
You can't.
I mean, I don't know. Are human remains kosher? I mean, I don't think so, right?
No.
Yeah. Don't eat the meatballs.
Oh God, it was almost too much. Like, I could see it coming too. You were like, "Oh shit, the dad's the meatballs," and then it was, and you're like, "I can't. I don't know. I might need to turn this off."
Well, the dad's meatballs, but now everyone is the meatballs.
Everyone is the meatballs. And everybody's either the meatballs or his mom. Jesus.
Toilet green comes in meatballs.
Toilet green is people. You know that one of the favorite things about being old is making references like that and having people under the age of 30 have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. Anyway, yeah, so Dark Gathering still really fucking damaged.
Yeah.
I don't know if this was worse than the forced supernatural pregnancy where he went down her mouth, but this is pretty bad.
I mean, how does that compare to forced pregnancy by grabbing hair ribbon?
Yeah, see, that was funny. I love that show. Were you surprised that they already killed the demon who was in the old woman's body?
Nothing in the show surprised.
I mean, that surprised me. Like, I was like, you introduced this character with this buildup, and then she died in there, like almost immediately.
I just kind of sort of watch it and go, why am I even doing this anymore? Why is my life?
Because it's still
this?
Really well written and the characters are great. It's just so fucked up.
Excellent. I mean, the manga's still ongoing, so even once we get to the end of this, with I think it's 25 episodes or something, maybe they'll even make more, or suffering will never be done.
I think we can all pretty much guarantee that our suffering will never end. Because why be alive? Just to suffer. All right. Gugsy, both you and Doc are watching Tear Moon. You both pretty positive on it earlier. Are you still liking that?
Yeah. Kev, do you agree?
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, I don't think it's like top tier of the season, but it always makes me laugh. It's fairly predictable in that the princess girl is faced with a situation that is going to lead to her being beheaded in future, and she just sort of fails her way into somehow surviving it, and also furthering various social justice causes while she does so.
By accident?
By accident, yeah. Oh my goodness! I've just invented free schooling for everyone. Oh, okay. Oh, I've just brokered peace with a minority population that was previously going to go to war with us. Oh, okay.
Yeah, she's succeeding by accident, which is great. That's always it's always great to have that.
So she's like Princess Taloring it.
Sort of, yeah,
yeah.
Or like
she's got into. Entirely selfish.
I've had my mic muted the whole time. No shit.
Yeah.
There's a term for this. She's failing upward.
Well, yeah.
Over and over. I read the manga of it recently, up to where it's been translated. It's absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. The part where everybody's hero worshiping her because they have no clue why she's doing any of the things she's doing. They just think she's got this, you know, incredible genius and foresight. And she's being a total bitch about it, and they can't tell.
I mean, to be fair, she is trying to, she's trying to do better. Her reasons for doing it are completely different from what everyone else is perceiving. So,
she's not trying to do better to be better. She's trying to do better for her own self-interest.
Right. And which everyone is interpreting as, well, because she is making things better.
Which means she's the pristine example of a billionaire philanthropist. She's doing it correctly.
Okay. I mean, there are other anime that I've watched that use this character trope that I have found so frustrating and boring and idiotic, and I've dropped it. But this one, I think the main character is entertaining enough that despite the fact that it is predictable and tropey, it's still entertaining.
Eminence in Shadow is one of those. It also has the main character constantly failing upward, but it's absolutely hilarious.
Love that show.
I can't cope with that show. I watched the first season. And I watched all 20 episodes, and afterwards I was like completely mystified. What even was that about? I just can't do it. I didn't find it funny. I found the main character just really annoying. You could not pay me to watch the second season.
I suppose I shouldn't have expected any better from the Rammstein particulate enjoyer.
I'm so disappointed in you, Doc, but I'm not surprised.
I just didn't like it.
To be fair to you, Kev, I also didn't. I didn't really watch too much of Eminence of Shadow, but I was not interested in what I was watching.
So you probably made the right choice and ducked out early. Yep. Or I just suffered in
pain. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, you deserve it.
Yeah.
By the way, so Raids, I asked you to try to watch a couple things before the podcast, and like, I asked you to try to watch a show that I enjoy but don't know why, called Berserk of Gluttony. And I don't. Did you have to? You bailed out about partway through.
I made it past like episode two and was like, oh right, that's why I dropped this series as a novel. It's terrible misery porn. It doesn't ever really get better, and when it looks like it's about to get better, it gets a lot worse all of a sudden, over and over and over again.
Huh. I haven't gotten that vibe from the later episodes at all, where he's hanging out with Mine, who's a badass and adorable, and he's flirting around with Roxy. Like, it gets a little dark occasionally, but it doesn't feel like a misery porn show. Like, it's not fucking Vinland Saga.
Well, we'll see. Maybe the anime actually, you know, saves it from being that, kind of like how Konosuba. The novel of that was absolutely fucking insufferable, primarily because Aqua was like 6 times worse.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I have heard that the anime improved it dramatically.
Dramatically, yes. Berserk of Gluttony might do that, but like those first two episodes that I saw, it didn't appear to be. It was real bad. And like those villains being, you know, cartoonishly evil and nobody seemed to give a shit, that just keeps getting worse. Every time a terrible, cartoonishly evil Saturday morning villain gets defeated, there's a bigger, badder, cartoonishly evil villain behind them that, you know, people have even more bullshit excuses why nobody's done anything about it.
No, that's true.
And it just keeps happening.
The Holy Knights are, but like, they're ridiculous. Like
why would anybody... Yeah. Why would anybody tolerate that group having power? Theoretically, there's a king somewhere. They're not the rulers of the place. They're one of the 5 ducal houses. Why has nothing been done? Why is this being left to some shitbag with a failure skill?
why is Roxy
allowing them to live? What's her excuse?
Why has no one done anything about Elon Musk?
Yeah. Doesn't anybody do anything about the oligarchy of America?
Yeah.
Why do we allow our healthcare system to be like this? Because people worry about themselves.
Right, but we don't have a fucking skill system here. It's a little different.
I wish we did, though. I wish I could pull up my screen right now and be like, podcast plus one.
I'm throwing an action boobs sure plus like 20. What was on your yes. screen, Rec?
Yeah. Plus, you put all your skills into actually showing him with boobs. Yes, I did. Anyway,
you're good at it, yeah.
I really can't explain why I like the show, but I find myself enjoying it every week. I mean, the cute girl with dark skin and a giant axe probably doesn't hurt, but I find it more
little girl with big axe is always good, but it's not enough to save the show.
I just find it's got a weird tone to it, where like. Really, really grim shit happens, and then they're like making jokes on the wagon on the way back. It works for me. I don't know why.
The other thing I want to point out is that it's kind of crossing the streams of several extremely overused tropes that have just been completely done to death, and it's not doing anything new on any of them, even in the overlap. The gluttony thing, specifically the term gluttony being used for someone that kills other people and takes their skills, that's been done to death. It's in hundreds of video games. I've seen it over and over.
Oh yeah, the 7 Deadly Sins theming is not exactly breaking new ground.
No, not even that. Just gluttony by itself with no reference to any other sins happens from time to time in games. We get that every so often. It's never done well. It's impossible to balance that well. But then the 7 Deadly Sins part of it is also handled extremely poorly.
Yeah, they haven't bothered to like explain anything. I do like the talking sword though. The talking sword amuses me.
The talking sword feels like it's just about to backstab him all the time.
I know. It's really, I just like when he talks to it out loud in public. Everybody thinks he's insane. And like his stupid Batman shit, where he's running around in like a black cloak and a mask. And he takes it off and like, oh, Fate, it's you. Puts the mask back on. Oh, shit, it's Corpse. You get the fucking like,
Clark Kent in his glasses.
He's got the Clark Kent glasses syndrome, which never is not funny to me. Okay.
There's worse ways to do it, but there's much better ways to do it. I think I prefer the Sailor Moon version, where you tie up your hair and put stuff in it.
Yeah, and then nobody knows who you are.
Right. Like
even when it's the same hairstyle,
you're covered in any way. Your hairstyle hasn't really changed. You just put in hairpins.
Yeah, magic. It's all magic. Magic explosion. Before we move on, I would like to go through one round on the. I don't know if it's the anime this season because Frieren is right there, but Apothecary Diaries is probably yes. my favorite show of the season. Are you guys also vibing with it like I am?
Hell yeah. Yes. Let's go.
It's so good.
I haven't
good.
Started watching it yet, as usual, but it is one of my favorite manga of all time.
You gotta watch it. Like, obviously, I don't know how good an adaptation it is. Gotta read the manga, but the show is so good.
From everything I've heard, it's a very faithful adaptation, and the screenshots I've seen have been perfect.
Like, this one is last episode where she, like, there's the murder attempt at the brothel, and, like, the way it ended just, it was kind of unsatisfying, but it also felt, like, completely authentic. Like, that's how that would probably get handled. Little girl in the brothel, like, trying to kill people with knives. I was like, damn, this show is so good.
Yep. That's the thing, is a lot of it is so realistic. The Apothecary Diaries is a really, really rare series in that it's a Japanese series about ancient China that still uses Chinese names for people.
Mao Mao.
Mm. Yeah, Mao her Mao. Name is Cat Cat.
She's very cat-like. Yep.
She is. It's perfect for her. Whoever named her did it right.
Zagug, do you like the show too?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's like you said, it probably is one of my favorite shows of the maybe of the year. I'd have to look back.
Oh, it's definitely making my top 10.
Have they done the sex ed class yet?
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay, well, look forward to that.
That sounds great, actually.
It depends on what you're referring to, I guess.
Because the consorts.
Because they did do something, like, didn't she explain something to, or one of the brothel
girls? Oh, yeah, she did. She told one of the concubines one of the techniques the whores use.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
She taught one of the consorts basically how to give a blowjob.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that doesn't go unnoticed. So look forward to that.
Sweet.
Oh, okay.
the scene in the last episode that I saw, I think it may have dropped an episode today. I can't remember when they drop. Where, like, she comes back from home and she's talking to the head guy, and there's obviously a misunderstanding of what happened.
Uh-huh.
She goes, I gave him heaven. Home. The fucking look! They left that shit on his face for
that sticker immediately for a reason.
Yes,
she cleans the tea off him, and his face is just stuck. I laughed so fucking hard.
Yeah, it's great.
We made that a sticker for a reason. That was one of the funniest things of the season.
It's just the show handles, like, mysteries and college intrigue and humor, and it's flawless. Like, I just It's amazing. It's just an amazing show. And any other season, it'd be animated this season with no, like, restrictions.
Right.
But it just happened to come out the same time as Frieren.
Yeah.
All right. That covers this for next time. Next time, we'll talk about what's coming up next season, which should be very exciting. I've heard there's some good shit coming out in winter. Some stuff that got pushed back because of the pandemic, if I remember correctly. And let's move on to our question of the week. Now, the person responsible for choosing the question of the week didn't do it until 10:55 a.m. on Thursday. And that guy is a lazy asshole, and he should be fired. It was me. So the question this week...
We have canned the person responsible for that, and then we have canned the person responsible for his canning.
Yeah, thank you for the Monty Python reference. You know, people don't get those anymore, right?
What was that about getting old and enjoying that people don't get your references?
Right, yeah. No, I'm just reminding you that when you make, like, it got bit by a moose reference from Monty Python, then no one gets that. It's fine. I just hang out with other people who are old, like Doc, and he'll get it.
I do not yet identify as old.
I was going to say, Doc, this is your perfect chance to tell you I don't actually get that one.
He probably doesn't.
Unfortunately. No, I didn't, actually.
Make a lot of you from the UK. That's where Monty Python's from, for God's sake.
I've only seen some of it. I've not seen the whole thing.
Oh, God damn it. You've seen Holy Grail, though, right?
Once a long time.
It's from there.
Right.
Is it from that? Oh, I don't remember.
Bring copy of Godzilla, bring copy of Holy Grail to Scotland.
Also bring History of the World.
I like Life of Brian.
Life of Brian is great, but like my mom would not let me watch that when I was younger because it was blasphemous.
Of course. It's not blasphemous.
I know it's not, but she thought it was. You can't do Jesus jokes. I have a friend named Biggest Dickus. Okay, moving on. So the question of the week was actually, what's your favorite Christmas episode from an anime? Or, because, you know, some people probably couldn't remember that, what's the most rewatchable live-action Christmas movie? I asked this question not knowing that the three people I would have on this podcast include one guy who's Jewish and two people who hate Christmas. So...
Don't hate Christmas, just hate Christmas.
That's hating movies. Christmas.
Yes, I don't dislike Christmas. I just kind of dislike all of the Christmas pageantry around it.
You don't like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story, A Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No. Sure.
I've never watched any of those and do not want
to. It's not like I'm looking for it. Like I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, oh, I want to watch this. No,
you're hurting me like right here.
No, my problem is I specifically hate both Christmas movies and Christmas music. Specifically,
yes,
because
that too.
Even though you're not going out of your way for them, even if you're just going about your normal day, they're completely shoved down your throat throughout the month of December. Now it's all the way up to fucking September.
Yes. December. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. The Christmas movie's dropping like mid-November, late October. Though that bothers me.
So here's my thing specifically about the Christmas movies. I used to work at a Blockbuster back when those were a thing.
That's way back.
They started in September running Elf nonstop all goddamn day. And they didn't stop running Elf nonstop until February. I have a seething, burning hatred for Will Ferrell. I cannot watch any of his movies.
Understandable.
Yeah.
That is a traumatic experience.
Yes.
I'm sorry that happened to you, Wraith. But
and like the only respite I got from it was almost worse, because the only other thing that any of the managers would let me put on instead was that first Star Trek reboot.
Oh God! I'd rather watch Elf 500 times.
I wouldn't.
Ugh. Anyway, let's see. John said the favorite Christmas anime episode was from Kimi no Todaki, but he didn't give any details, so I don't know what he's talking about.
No idea.
That's also kind of the problem with this, is that a lot of these anime have one-off Christmas episodes that are like, I couldn't really remember too many of them, but they're always there.
Yeah. So that was pretty funny. I mean, the ones in... Haruhi are pretty well known, although nobody said that. Let's see, Christmas movie says
I'm sure someone
it
did.
Was a fucking shoujo series from like 2009. Damn, John, talk about a deep cut. Why the fuck were you watching this?
Because John's a weird guy sometimes. But, you know, he's old like me, so I need to get him around. Christmas movie, he was always partial to the original Black and White Miracle on 34th Street, which is a very good movie. I mean, it's old, but it's good. And also the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer stop motion, which I did watch almost every year when I was a kid. That the older you get, the more kind of creepy it is as you get farther away from it. Like how people move because it's stop motion is so weird. And Rudolph's voice is very odd in that.
You know what? I didn't remember those, but yes, if you ask me, those stop motion movies are probably my favorite Christmas stuff.
I mean, they are pretty fun.
Yeah.
Let's see. Reikaze said the disappearance of Haruhi Suzumiya is by far his favorite Christmas related anime. I believe our friend DJ Nipa would agree with that.
I would agree with that as well. It's also the only Christmas related thing that I can really remember watching.
So that would be your pick?
Yeah, absolutely. It's great. It's 2.5 hours long, though, but it's still great.
You know what? I'm going to throw one out that I haven't even watched, and it's my favorite Christmas movie, perhaps because of that. Die Hard.
Yeah, I mean, that argument continues, but I would say Die Hard is a movie that happens at Christmas, not a Christmas movie, but I don't want to get into that.
That's why I like it.
I don't care.
Even though I haven't seen it.
Rikazi also said, if you count Home Alone as a Christmas movie, that's my choice. I'd allow that. That's a Christmas movie.
I mean, you kind of have to now that he's got a fucking star on Hollywood Boulevard.
I mean, everyone's got Vince McMahon has a star on Hollywood Boulevard.
I liked Home Alone as a kid. I don't think I've seen it since.
I've seen it, like, you know, it pops up this time every year. I've seen it a few more times. It holds up pretty well. Like the part from when the burglars start and they start and he starts mutilating them. That holds up really well, just because those two guys, Joe Pesci and the other guy whose name I can't fucking remember. The tall guy. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry, whoever you are. They're so good at physical comedy that the whole sequence just holds up. It's still going to be funny forever.
I'm reminded of the, there was an epic rap battle of history of Lewis and Clark versus Bill and Ted. I'll take Neo. I'll take the one that no one knows at all.
Yeah, that poor bastard. You know what? I actually, one time I looked up that guy's IMDb page, the other guy in Bill and Ted, and that dude's been on everything. And like, people don't even realize he's been like a guest star or a bit part in just like every police procedural ever made, you know, and every, like all those kind of shows your parents watch, like, you know, Blue Bloods and NCIS. He's been on all that shit.
As bit parts.
Yeah, never like an important thing. He's like the lawyer for the guy in Law and Order or whatever. He's been on every Law and Order, by the way. You know, or he's like the guy who dies in the first 5 minutes, that kind of stuff.
That's not a bad career to have.
No, I mean, he's obviously going by his IMDb. He's made a career as an actor. It's just his only real notable part is Bill and Ted. But I mean, better to have one of those than never have one, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see, Aether said, definitely not the one from Ancient Magus Bride. I liked that episode, but it wasn't really a fun Christmas episode.
I don't even remember that. I watched it. I have no idea what you
mean. It was the Christmas party when Philomilo went, you know, crazy, crazy.
Oh, like,
yeah, this is the most recent one, yeah.
Okay, I'm afraid the Ancient Magus Bride season 2 puts me to sleep. It's been boring this year.
Really? I've really enjoyed it.
I can barely remember anything after each episode. I'm like, oh, well, that happened.
Yeah.
It's boring me to tears. I don't care about any of the new characters.
Really? You know what had a good Christmas episode, actually? The Angel Next Door spoils me rotten.
I liked that show, and hardly anybody watched it. I never watched it. I meant to.
Fantastic. The manga's also great. It's a really good series. It's one of the sweetest romances.
As a UMR guy said, Toradora and Gabriel Dropout, and included a picture of the Gabriel Dropout Christmas episode, is pretty funny. That whole show was really funny and I think flew under the radar a little bit. Coda says,
it got a second season, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. That's fair. Coda is a Dr. Stone's Christmas episode because it's a stealth one. I don't watch Dr. Stone's. I don't know what he's talking about.
That's why it's stealth. Nobody watches it.
I do watch it.
Alistair said the snow day episode in ReZero. I hope he means the OVA and not the one where he dies at the end and his head falls off.
That's a great Christmas episode.
Oh, that would be my pick. That was my favorite episode of ReZero.
I will always say that
head falls off.
The show should have ended there. That should have been the end of ReZero. Now, I love the show, and I love the second season, but there would have been something really powerful about the end of the show being him, you know, frozen to death, his head falls off.
End the show. But now, no, we have to do wish fulfillment.
I mean, that's why Shield Hero's ending is the way it is, of the novels anyway. He made an ending of it where Naofumi lost, but Naofumi had made a bargain with a god beforehand, such that if he dies there, then he and Raftalia and, The other little girl that ended up dying.
Philo.
The other one.
Melty? There's a lot of little girls in that show.
It's someone else entirely. I'm not even sure she came up in the anime because they didn't want to cover this at all. But there's another little girl that he gets close to. And he made a bargain with this god that if he ever actually falls in battle, he and the people he cares most about will be shoved back to his original house on Earth, and you know that they'll all be, you know, magically fitting in rather than random fantasy creatures. But it happened, and he intended to end it there, and the fans went absolutely batshit, threatening insane. Like, he was getting legit death
threats. I remember this. And it was so bad that he did a different ending, right? Yeah,
and then out of complete spite for them, because that was the ending he'd always planned for it, he never meant for Naofumi to win. That was not the point. But the fans hated it and, like, were so annoying about it that he went back and wrote a new ending completely out of spite. He made it the most bland, generic, wish-fulfillment, overpowered bullshit ending he could possibly think of. And they absolutely adored it. They ate it up. They loved it. He hates his fans with a burning passion.
Didn't he, like, quit after that? After they all loved it, he's like, all right, fuck you guys, I'm done.
I had thought so, but then he came back and did an even more spiteful thing. He made a series focusing on the spear hero, fully expecting it to tank, and no, it was also a hit.
The spear hero sucks.
Yeah, that was the point, is that all of the heroes suck.
I'm going to say this. The third girl is probably the little white tiger girl, Atla, or something like that.
Yes, that's the one.
Okay, yeah, because they're focused on her a lot this season. This third season has actually been okay. It's been pretty good, actually. Definitely a lot better than the bullshit that the second season was. With him.
He doesn't give a shit about Melky. He doesn't give a shit about about Philo. He brings Atla.
I'm surprised he didn't bring Philo. I guess
why are you watching Shield Hero, Rick? It's so bad.
Why is Luigi keeping watching Rena Girlfriend?
The thing about Philo is that she actually has a role in that fantasy world. She must be there.
Right, I just thought of that. She's supposed to be the queen or whatever.
Yeah, she can't just leave. Same with Melty. She actually has to be there.
That's true. They
are important to that world. But Raftalia and Atla are total outcasts. They will have no problem dumping that world entirely and coming over to his.
Yeah, but to answer your question, Doc, it's the same reason Luigi keeps watching Rent a Girlfriend. It's sunk cost fallacy. Like, I'm already this far in. Let me see where this goes.
Ugh.
I watched the whole first season. I quite liked the first half of the first season. The second half was shit. And the second season was
brutal. It was brutal.
The whole slavery thing just gave me the ick. And I'm like, no, I can't do this. I respect myself and my time too much to devote any more of it to this absolute shit.
Bull fucking shit.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that. But yeah, the slavery thing, at least in this season, like when he buys slaves, it's to bring them back to his village and, you know, let them live freely. He's just trying to get them out of bondage. He's not buying them to use them like he did in the first and second season.
You just disappoint me so much that you're watching this, and despite me and Dill and everyone telling you that this horse girl stuff is the best sports thing ever, and you like sports, and you just refuse.
To be fair, I've had nothing but bad experiences with sports anime. Remember Battery?
We've had this discussion
about
sports
Battery
anime.
Battery was an assault on your senses?
Yes. All of them.
Battery was a fucking war crime.
Ugh.
But anyway,
let's get back to the question.
Yes. Let's see. Our friend Nomadic Deck said
the question again?
About Christmas anime and movies. Shiro Bako, Exodus Christmas episode 12 is the first core and arc finale. Several things pay off with Shugi, the old animator whose skill set is obsolete, comes in clutch to draw the final difficult sequence, and Erica returns the nick of time to give Aoi a good pep talk. Okay. I never actually finished Shiro Bako, but I've heard it's good.
Never started it.
I didn't read
any of it either. That's when I completely missed.
Roro said the ping pong episode where it's Christmas is quite good. I don't know if I call it a Christmas episode. Gugs, you like ping pong. Was there a Christmas episode?
I have no idea. I don't remember it. I've seen ping pong multiple times. I don't remember it. Christmas anything.
Okay.
So that's good.
Rasaj posted a clip from an anime that was a Christmas thing, but he didn't tell me what it was, so I don't recognize it. Like, what is this? Okay. Aether dropped, we wish you a metal Christmas from Agretzko. That looks fun. Anybody watch that?
No.
And Agretzko's not my thing.
But I fell off of Agretzko.
Okay. And Marquan seconds Gabriel dropout. I mean, it was pretty funny. Okay. I love Christmas movies. So, like, I watch A Christmas Story. They put it on a loop for 24 hours every Christmas. I watch it. I usually two or three times until my wife threatens to murder me if I watch it one more time. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Fantastic movie. Santa Claus, the movie with Dudley Moore. No one remembers that from the early 80s. Good movie.
I've watched that. It's not a good movie. It's a terrible movie, but like six-year-old me liked it.
Yeah, maybe so I'm just too, like, nostalgia is too strong for me to not like it now, but I kind of like it. Mm-hmm. Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to find a Turbo Man toy and fighting Sinbad for it. I don't care what anybody says. That movie fucking rules. The late, great Phil Hartman as his smarmy-ass neighbor who's trying to bang his wife. Oh, God, Phil Hartman was so good. R.I.P.
Well, I thought of one I might like. I don't know. Does this count as a Christmas movie? It's a Wonderful Life.
That is the most Christmassy of Christmas movies, yes. That's Christmas movie canon.
So I did like that one, but that was made before Christmas became as commercial and horrible as it is now. So any other Christmas movie since then is dreadful. Does Gremlins count as a Christmas movie?
I'll allow it.
Yeah, so I like Gremlins mainly just because it's violent.
Have you seen Gremlins 2?
Russage linked a clip of.
Yeah.
Is actually Kyoran Kazoku Nikki Family Frenzy Diary?
Don't remember that at all.
Diary of a Crazy Family?
Never heard of that. He found an anime I've never heard of. That's pretty remarkable.
It's from 2008 and has a total dog shit rating. That doesn't surprise me at all.
You've seen Gremlins 2?
No. Yeah, I've seen both of them. I love both
Gremlins 2. They're great. It's the part where like Hulk Hogan stands up in the theater. That movie is so like meta. It's ridiculous. It's like, I'm quite certain the people who wrote it were either they thought they would never be allowed to make it or they were very high during most of the production. Yeah.
Gremlins 2 is one of my favorite movies.
Okay, so that's all the answers we got. We just heard from Doc Gugsy or Rate. You got anything else to add? Any other anime movies?
There was an article that I saw recently that probably counts as my favorite Christmas episode. Little girl goes up to Mall Santa, and he asks her what she wants for Christmas. And her response is, "I'd really like for my stepdad to stop touching me." And within minutes, Mall Santa and his elves have this dude on the ground and are beating the shit out of him.
I did see that. I saw that. Santa beat the shit out of that guy.
I remember this.
Yeah, great.
Go, Santa.
They were all like, "I'm sorry, you what? Oh, hell no."
Where's your stepdad? Point him out to me real quick. He's beating him with his giant sack of presents.
And like the elves are just going to town on him barehanded. They didn't even bother to change.
No, I mean, it's way funnier with them in the elf costumes.
Yeah.
You got your ass kicked by an elf. Like, that's going to get you beat up in prison.
Mm-hmm.
All right, anything else? Any other movies?
I mean, animes? The other prisoners are also going to ask, okay, why did Santa need to beat you up, asshole? From what I hear, prison... child touchers don't get treated very well in prison, which is good.
No, good.
Yeah, and that's one of the great things about the prison system. It handles some of those problems for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think for me, I think my answer would have been the disappearance of Haruhi going into this. But then, you know, I didn't realize this was actually set in Christmas. And I'd like to make everyone mad here in this podcast. And I'm going to go with 5 centimeters a second.
Oh, fuck you.
Look,
terrible.
Look, I understand that two happily married men will never understand the pain of 5 centimeters a second. But, you know.
Oh, yeah, because my romantic life was great before I got married. It was all 100%. I batted 1,000 the entire time.
Yes, yes.
I hate that film.
Okay.
Don't intend to.
Yep. I have successfully made you angry. Great. Good.
I hate you, Gugsy. I want you to know that.
Your work here is done.
And with that.
That's a good place to end with Gugsy being an asshole. Oh, also my favorite Christmas anime episode of all time, Katura-san. It's the last episode of the show. It's the one with the actual love confession.
I've never heard you talk about this one.
I love that show. And the last episode happens during Christmas. He's got a love confession, which is kind of complicated because their feelings are already known because you can read his fucking mind, but he never actually said it out loud. It's a great scene. Makes me tear up every time. Okay. Thank you for joining us on this somewhat chaotic episode of the Anite Podcast. I have been joined by Dr. Kev.
Bye-bye.
I have been joined by Gugsy.
Leaving you on this note. Excellent.
Yes. I have been joined by Ryzeno.
See you on the preview.
And thank you. Have a Merry Christmas and be better than these people and watch good Christmas movies. goodbye. And remember...
That bar is somewhere in the vicinity of the sixth circle of hell.
Okay. Anyway, see you later. And always remember, if you see a papier-mâché dick, watch out for the particulate cum.